So we're starting on the bottom of Tzadi Aleph and Bet. We're continuing with the cases that Rami Bar Chama is bringing down and that Rovers disagree with him. So they can see the structure of the Gemara, why these cases are coming down. So the next case in the Gemara, the last case we left off with, was the son who sold his mother's ksuba, right, Betovas Hana. So yesterday when we did it, we spoke about the first Peshat and Rashi. There's another Peshat and Rashi, just to note, about what he sold, right? Yesterday we spoke about that he sold the ksuba itself. Rashi introduces a second shot, which most of the other Rishonim seem to take up, which is that he sold the land that was designated for the ksuba. Not that he sold the ksuba itself, but rather the land designated for the ksuba, and whether his mother can object or not object, and the Gemara follows through from there. So now the next case in the Gemara is Amar Rami Chama Ruvein, Shemachar Soda L'Shimon Shelo Be'achrayut. So second, last line in the Gemara here. So Reuven sells a field to Shimon without recourse, right? But after Shimon umachar leRuven b'achrayut, and then Shimon turns around and resells it back to Reuven with recourse. V'ata b'chov de Reuven. So now the debtor of creditor of Reuven comes, but katarif leAminay, and he comes and grabs the property from Reuven himself, right? So now what's going to happen? Dinahu the azel Shimon umavatilei. Shimon is going to have to compensate Reuven. Why? Because he had recourse. So now Shimon compensates him, but Shimon's out of the money because he never got recourse from Reuven. So Amar Le Rava Nehid Achrayis Da Amol Kavod Alei Achrayis Da Napshim Kavod Alei. Rava says that's not logical. You know, if we assume that he took recourse, that Shimon accepted recourse towards Reuven, when he accepted recourse, he meant if the problem came from a third party, meaning that if the claim on the land or the coming in and foreclosing on the land came from another party, not when it's foreclosed by your own creditor. When it's your own creditor, you knew about that creditor. It's not like something that you need achrayus for. Achrayus is something where recourse when there's a unknown creditor or something that's right, not because of your fault. So Rava says, in this case, Shimon will not have to pay the recourse because the problem stemmed from Reuven himself. Right, so Rava, but Rava agrees. But Reuven shiur sodem Yaakov, that Reuven inherited a field from his father Yaakov. Umachra the Shimon shelo b'achrayut, and then he sells it to Shimon without recourse. V'ata Shimon umachra the Reuven b'achrayut, and then he goes in and sells it back to Reuven with recourse. It's our exact case, except how did the field get to Reuven? In this case, he inherited it from his father. But then what happens now? V'ata b'chol de Yaakov. Now the creditor of Yaakov, his father, comes, right? Bekatari flamine. Then he takes it. Dina duazel Shimon umfatzele. Then Shimon's got to compensate him. Mine, why? My time about chol de Yaakov, about chol de Alma dami. That he did give. A recourse is involved in this case. Why? Because the creditors of Yaakov are like third parties when it comes to Reuven. So the only time that we exempt Shimon from providing the recourse that he owes to Reuven is when what? When it's the problem or the creditor is stemming from Reuven himself. The creditor stems from any other party, then Shimon is on the hook for the recourse that he promised. And one of those cases will be when Reuven's father, Yaakov, had debts outstanding, and then the Balei Chov are coming and being Torek the Sode from Reuven himself. Okay, Amar Rami Bar Chama, another case of Rami Bar Chama, Reuven. Shemachor Sode L'Shimon Be'achrayut. Right? So in the next case here. Okay. So then Reuven sold his field to Shimon Be'achrayut with recourse. V'zakaf alav b'milveh. Right? So Shimon did not pay for the land. He borrowed the money from Reuven, basically. He owes him the money. So he hasn't paid for the field yet. So he buys the field. Shimon buys the field, but he doesn't pay for it. He says, you know what, I'm taking it on a credit. I'm taking the field on credit.
No money down.
Right, no money down. Right. Then what happens? V'katarif, u'at about chov de Reuven, v'katarif le mishimon. Right, so now, the about chov de Reuven shows up, and goes to grab the land from Reuven. Oh, did I skip a line?
Sure.
I skipped a line, I'm sorry. Umeis Reuven. Reuven dies, because that's an important piece here. Reuven dies. Alright, so then he comes to grab the land from Shimon. So who do you have? What parties do we have left here? You have the Yisomim of Reuven, you have Shimon, and then you have the Baal Chov here who's coming to grab the land. It's a Baal Chov of Reuven. So he's coming to take it from the Yisomim. What's the rule about taking from Yisomim? You cannot be take from Metaltalim. You can only take from
Karka.
You can only take from Karka. So, what does he do here? Shimon wants to keep the land, and he has yet to pay for the land. Right? So Shimon's out no money yet. So what does he do? He says, you know what? We'll solve the problem. I'll make it easier. What am I going to do? Right, exactly. If I say Bezuze, he'll pay the money. That's the money he owes Reuven anyway. And then Reuven owed the creditor money. So what do you say? I just paid the creditor, and everything will be fine now. Because I paid you, the creditor got his money, I got my land, and everybody's happy. Except, what? Dinu the Amri Le B'nei Reuven. The children of Reuven can say, Anon Metaltele Shavak Avuk Gabach. What our father left with you was Metaltele. Meaning that if you repaid us the loan, right, then we would have just had Metaltele. The creditor could not come and get that money. Had he paid him back the 1,000 shekels that he owed them to pay for the field, then they would have the 1,000 shekel, and the creditor would be out his money because he can't come get, they can't take Metaltele. Right? Then they would have no rights to grab that money. Right? So what is, if he's smart, Shimon, what should he do? So what should he do? He should give them so now they're coming with a claim against him, right? They have a claim against him that what? What's his claim? Their claim is you should never have paid him. Now what? Now pay us the money. You still owe our father money, right? Because you gave it to the creditor, something that we wouldn't have had to pay. So we never got our money. Where's the money that you owe our father? So if he's smart, how is he going to pay for that? He won't pay with money. He'll give them land. Why does he want to give them land? Because if he gives them land, then what? They have recourse. He has recourse against Reuven. Why does he have recourse against Reuven? Because he sold it to him, right, with recourse. So what could he do? He could give them a piece of land, and then in order to get his recourse, he'll take the land back. Why? Because the Rav Nachman. Why does that work? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Yotomim shegavu karka v'chobas avihem. Someone who now grab karka in order to fulfill the obligations of their father. Maybe that someone was a debtor to them. If they grab karka to pay for that debt that's owed when their father was a creditor, v'chob chozer v'golat amehen. We assume that that land was either nikva or he died. Meaning that we don't say now when they go grab the land, that's a new entry into the estate, and that's really their land, right? No, they're collecting under the.
It's part of the estate.
Exactly, they're claiming under the framework or the credit that is their father's, and therefore they're not coming here and standing as Yisomim. They're standing in place of their father to collect as creditors. If they do that, then when they pick up the land, it's as if the land belonged to the estate, right, when their father died. If that's the case, then anybody who's a creditor to the estate can collect that land. Right? So that's the important point here. So that's what Rebbe points out here. This guy, even though when he paid with the money, the Yisomim still have a claim on him, if he fills that claim to the Yisomim with land, then what? They also owe him money because his land's been taken now, and they sold it v'achrayus with recourse. So when they take the land from him, he can go now take the land back to pay for his recourse. Because that land that he pays them is if it was given to the estate prior to his death. And then he could go take it out of the estate because he's not taking from his Yisomim.
I would say that same kind of story that we said before. You know, he accepted upon himself if someone else takes the land from him. But not if he himself takes the land from him as repayment to the...
Well, he's not taking the land from him. Reuven takes the land from the land.
No, I'm saying Reuven is the one who gave him the achrayus.
Right, no, but Reuven's not the one. In the other case above Reuven, Shimon has recourse to Reuven, and then Reuven is the problem. Over here, Shimon is paying the Yisomim not because he's the problem. It's because of the whole, you know, the problem that he needs to pay for the Sadeh, which he already paid for, because the Yisomim had this unusual.
But he's claiming it back based on the achrayus that Reuven gave him.
Right, but he's different. He's not. He's like there's a third party Torah here, which is the Baal Chov, who really took the land. He's trying to deal with that issue right now.
I'm just talking about the quality of the enforceability or the intention behind the achrayus. Like we said, we've had previous cases where we say, well, the achrayus is that kind of not tokes over there because you know.
Yeah, but there it's being triggered by Reuven himself. Here, it's not being triggered by Shimon. It's been triggered by the third party Baal Chov. And it has to be a nuance in Yisomim that if he pays them money, they can claim, oh, you didn't pay yet. But it's not like that he's creating the problem. It's not, Shimon's not the one that's introducing the problem here. The problem is created by the creditor that's an outside party, right? Because he's coming to collect his loan. In the case of Reuven and Shimon, the problem is that Reuven is a debtor in the first place, and when he comes, when the Baal Chov comes, it's Reuven that caused the problem.
It's true, but if you take the other person out of it, you know, just look at what happens between the Yerushim and Reuven now.
The Shimon, right?
Shimon. It was Shimon is giving the field to the Yerushim as payment of a debt.
Right. I hear what you're saying. So I would just point out here, there's one important, the Tosfos makes an important point. Early on, we learned on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, Tosfos says that each type of claimant has a different form of payment. And over there, we noted that what? If you have a creditor that comes, in Pei Vav Amud Aleph, we said that Tosfos says, if you have a creditor, he's entitled to take cash over land. He lent money, and he wants money back. So if it comes to a choice now, you show up, he shows up to make his, you know, to collect his money, and the debtor has both money and land, he can demand he gets money, because his precedent or his priority is to money, because he lent money, he gets money back. Whereas we said by a mazik, right, someone who's paying out as a mazik can pay with land whatever he wants, he can pay whatever he wants. And then we said by ksuba, then the ikar, he can pay with land as the first choice, because the ksuba is guaranteed by the land. Tosfos there, Rabbeinu Tam gave those three options. So what's important about that? Over here in this case, we have a creditor. Who's the creditor? The Yisomei Reuven are the creditors. And what's Shimon going to go to do? Instead of giving them Zuze, which he has money, he's going to pay them land. So why can't they make the demand that what the priority of a creditor is to receive money? Why can he pay them with land? The whole suggestion of Rabbah here is pay them with land. Why don't they have a right to demand? Give us money. Why are you giving us land? So Tosa says, very, very important, he says, Mikan Yesh Laho Chiach, it's Ipikeach. The Tosa says Ipikeach. He goes, Ibikeach Idach and Gabilun Yaleh, Mikan Yesh Laho Chiach, the Afa Gab Darmin in the El, right, the Dino, the Bachol Bezuze, but that a Bachol is entitled to take money as his first choice of payment. Nevertheless, Hecha de Isle Zuze, right, Hecha de Isle Zuze, wherever he has Zuze, Mikom Kohom, Im Hipsid Halove Bekach, Loitain Lezuze. If he's going to lose by giving Zuzim, we don't say that he has to give priority to paying in money. We only say that he has to pay money where all things are equal. Where all things are equal, then the creditor can demand money over land. But over here, where what? Shimon's stand is going to be hurt by paying in money, then they can't make that demand, you must pay in money. Because if he pays in money, now he's out twice, right? Because he paid the Yisum, and he paid the creditor, and he still doesn't have his land. So if that's the case, we're not going to say then, oh, the creditor gets to decide and say, tell me, money is my priority, I want money.
He'd have the land.
No, he wouldn't have the land. He's paid for it twice. I'm sorry. He's paid for it twice. So in that case, he's hurting his position. Case where he's hurting his position, the creditor came out and make a demand that what? He pay in cash. So therefore, what? That's an exception to that case where he can pay in land because it would hurt his position to pay in cash. Just an interesting note to what we had learned earlier in Pei Vav Anav, the priority of a Baal Chov. Alright. I'm just looking. Tosis is a big Tosis here. He wants to know why does the Zikvo Love and Mova make a difference here? You know what? I don't think it's so. All right, it's not probably such an important point. All right, to Amar. All right, so that was Rav Nachman. Amar Rabba. So now we have a new entry here. Rabba. Amar Rabba. Reuven Shemachor Kol Stotav L'Shimon. So Reuven sold all of his properties to Shimon. Everything. Then Shimon goes ahead and sells one piece of property to Levi. But he can take it either from Shimon or from Levi. Below Amran, we only say that the Zavna Beinonis. If he sold the middle line property to Levi, why? Because what's the Baal Chov has a priority in claiming on certain types of property, right? There are three types of property. There's Idis, which is the best property, Beinonis, which is middle property, and Ziboris, which is the worst property, right? Now, when it comes to a Ksubas Isha, right, we say that a Ksubas Isha can collect it even from Ziboris, even from the worst property. Why? Because Yoter Me Shaish Rotze Linasei, Yisar Osha Linasei. So that we said that a woman wants to get married, in a way, and therefore she would be willing to forfeit her right to collect from the best property and to get Ziboris as long as she has some sort of collateral for her ksuba. So we said by Baal Chov, right, that a Baal Chov should technically collect from Idis, right? But we didn't want to make it that the Baal Chov, what's going to happen? A person's going to, any Baal Chov, we'll see that his friend has a lot of a nice property that he wants. He'll go and say, "What? You know what? I know this guy's desperate for cash. I'll lend him with the collateral of this property, and I'll go take his best property." So he said, "What? Oh, so then give him Ziboris. But if you give him the worst property as collateral for the Bachov, then what? You know, Delet, Lifnei Lavin, right? That you're going to block the, you're going to close the credit markets because people aren't going to be able to loan, lend money when they know that they're going to end up with this poor quality property that they're going to have to try to unload when they foreclose it on it, right? That's not what they're going to want. So therefore, what? The Bachov gets Beinonis. The din of a Bachov is to get the middle line property. So what happens here? If Shimon bought all the property of Reuven, all three classes of property that Reuven has, then he goes and resells the property to Levi, one piece of property. Which property to resell to Levi? So the Gemara is saying here, they sold the Beinonis to him. Then Bachov Reuven is entitled to take either from Shimon or from Levi. Because Levi has what? The Beinonis has the Beinonis that really is the ikar collateral to the boom. But that's...
Does that mean that
Shimon
still has Beinonis?
Yeah, so that's the next line of the Gemara. Very good. But if Levi bought the top line property or the bottom line property, then he can say to him, I specifically bought from Shimon the type of property that you would not make a claim on. I left him the Beinonis. I left him the middle line property. So what? That you would take from that. Ubeninonis, Namigo Amran, to Shaul's question, El Vlo Shava Beinonis to Kabata. That's as long as he only took, he didn't leave any Beinonis that left over the Shimon. But Shava Beinonis to Kabata, if he left over Beinonis, middle line property with Shimon, Amrle, Anachte Lecha Malkum Ligvos Mimeni. Right, I can what? He left him property, he left him room to, right, to grab from that property. So therefore, the only time that Levi is a party to the collection of the creditor of Reuven is when he's bought the property that was basically uniquely designed to be the collateral of Reuven's debts, which is the Beinonis property, and only if he took only the Beinonis, which is the only Beinonis available. Because if he takes the Boris Nidis, he has a claim that, what, I bought that property in order to avoid you, right? So therefore, he can't come and collect from him. But if he buys the Beinonis and he left over other Beinonis, you can say the same thing. I left you enough Beinonis so you wouldn't come and make a claim against me. But if he bought out the only middle line property, which was the Ikar collateral, then what? The Baal Chov can go after either one of them. He can go after the Beinonis because that's his Ikar claim, or he can go after Shimon and say, listen, you bought all of Reuven's property. You're standing in Reuven's place. I'm going to take whatever property is available right now. Okay.
Why shouldn't he be able to go to Levi to Levi anyhow? Let's say Levi left him. It's still the same land. Let's say they both have Beinonis.
Right.
There's Beinonis left.
Right.
Why should we should allow him to go?
Well, you said I left. It's like a regular, if you were a regular Reuven, if you're buying from Reuven and you leave over Bnei Korin.
It's a second kingdom.
So that's
there's no Bnei Korin, it's all Mishpatim.
I'm just saying, but right, so but if in the original case, if you were going to you're buying from the debtor, you could do the same thing. You buy from the debtor, if you leave over property, he's got to go to that property before he can come to you. Even right. Point to get to Zibor's.
That's like, correct.
Right. So over here, we're going to have that over here, that won't apply in general. Because if he buys the Beinonis, right, that's a very important point here. That generally we say you have to go down in order of sale, meaning that you have to go to the lochim achronim. The later buyers are at most risk, even if their property is Ziboris, types of property.
The later buyers are what?
Are at most risk.
The most risk.
For being.
Because everybody else says we left
Ben Chorim. But that is not said. That is not said when you're the buyer already. Because when Shimon bought already, that's a takana of Bachov. That's at a time kind of by a debtor. But once he's bought all of Shimon, once he's bought all of Reuven's property, and Levi comes and buys from Shimon, then we don't say, I left over Ziboris and Edis, right? Go claim, go take that from that property, right? I left over Bnei Chorin, right, that are Meshubat by Shimon, go collect from them. He no longer has that claim. That claim is gone, because that claim only relates to the original debtor and to free and clear property by the original debtor. The only claim that he does have is if I left over Beinonis. Meaning that if he took Ziboris Nidis, or if he took Beinonis and left over Beinonis, he has a claim, because he said, I left you the specific type of property that you would go after.
Go after Shimon.
Right, go after Shimon. But if I bought out the property that is uniquely middle class property and I took it, then he has a claim, then he can come after him because he's now taken over the property or that right where the Baal Chov has his Ikar rights. If you look at this, Tosu says that here, about Shavak Beinonis to Kabbalah, Matzer Malay, Nacha Kamal Kom, Likbos Menu. Lav Davkar Kamar Lahait Lishnu. It's not particular. The Lo Shaykh Lamar Hachi, Elegale Beibalim. You can only make that type of claim by the owners, the original owners. Below Lagabi Lo Keach Rishon. not by the main buyer. That the only time you can say I left you property of equal quality when you're dealing with the debtor himself. But when you're dealing with the buyer already, everything is now encumbered. All the property is encumbered, right? You can't say that. The ikar tama, what's the reason? The labi elamishum ma macharishan l'sheni close chush to tava liyadol. So then what is that? When I sell, when Shimon buys from Reuven, and then he sells it to Levi, why is he selling to Levi? He's selling to Levi, not only is he selling the property, he's selling him all the claims that he could make. The same rights to claims that he could make, he's giving him over here. So that's why when Levi buys the Ziboris or the Idis, right, then what would Shimon say? If he had bought just the Ziboris and the Ziboris and the Idis, he could make a claim, I left you over Bein Onis, what are you coming to me for? So when Levi buys it, he can make the same claim, right? Also over here, when he buys Bein Onis, and he leaves over Bein Onis with Shimon, really he has no claim, Levi, because what? All the property is now encumbered, and if he wants to go over Bein Onis, he can go after any Bein Onis, whether it's from Shimon, whether it's from Levi. He does. The creditor's not thinking about who owns it now, he's just thinking, I have a class of property that I'm entitled to collect from. It doesn't matter if it's Shimon, it doesn't matter Levi. Why does Levi have a right to say anything here? Because Shimon has that right. Right? Shimon bought a right to say what? That if I left over Bein Onis with the original Baal Chov, right, then I'm protected. Right? If I bought it. But if...
No, Shimon also has the right to say if Shimon has two fields of Bein Onis, Shimon can determine which of those fields he gives to the creditor.
I don't know.
I think that he has the right.
I'm not sure if he has the right.
Is that what Tosi says?
I don't think he has the right to pick. I think the creditor can go after Bein Onis, but he can just say
if Shimon has two fields that are Bein Onis, he can, and the creditor says, I want this one. Shimon can say, take that one.
I don't know if he has that.
Tosi says that.
You're right. So that's it. That's the
same thing is. So this way, the shlishi, Levi can say, yeah, this
one's still there. I'm doche Yubai by Shimon Bein Onis. No, that's his right here. His right is that Shimon had the right to push him to the other Bein Onis, so too Levi has
to push him to a different field.
Right, because that's the schus that he bought.
But he can't push him to Zeburis.
No. Amazing thing. So
if Shimon could push him to Zeburis, that's still in the hand of the original.
Of the original.
But that's not a right that Shimon has.
That he can't transfer.
No, because Shimon doesn't have that right, he buys all the property. I mean, when Shimon's bought all the property, he does not have a right to dock those to Zeburis. Right? He has to take from, he gets from the Bein Onis, and Shimon's only right is to switch between the different types of Bein Onis. So when he gave Levi, gave him that right that he himself had, which was to switch between the different Bein Onis. That's a claim of Levi here. It's very interesting. Tosis, he said, it's not that because it's not like the original Takana. The original Takana is if you leave Nechari, that's Takana's a show. That what if I leave over free property, that what? That then you can only make a claim out of that free property, the less property, because otherwise nobody would buy. That's a Takana's Lokeach Rishon. That we want to protect the buyers as far as possible, because if buyers come in and they always are at risk for having their property taken back as part of the lien, nobody's going to want to buy anything, right? Because they're going to never know that there's a way for them to protect themselves. So the takana is what? If they leave over free and clear property, they are protected, right? That's their protection, to leave over free and clear property. That is only a takana for lokeach rishon, for the first buyers. But when you have a secondary buyer coming, which Levi is buying off of Shimon, that takana is not applicable anymore. That's not relevant anymore. That's what Tosfos is saying here. So Levi's claim to say, what? I left over Bein Onis with Shimon, that's not a valid claim. That's not a claim, because that's a claim of a first buyer, not a claim of a secondary buyer that's buying off of Shimon. So what is his claim? That's what Tosfos is saying. It's a very important chiddush here. That since Shimon himself had a right to exchange between the different types of Bein Onis, that right belongs to Levi. He sold that right down to Levi, and Levi now can say the same thing. Just like he could have pushed you, he sold me the right, I'm pushing you back on the Bein Onis of Shimon. And that's his right to do that. All right. Now, next case in the Gemara. I just point out that Tosfos over here deals with the fact, Rashi mentions it here, that it has to be here that when he bought the property from Shimon, bought the property from Reuben, he bought it in a single shtar. It was a single shtar and not two different shtaros, all right? Because once you get into two different shtaros, right, it might be a problem that he left over Bnei Chori, and then the second shtar is ready to Bnei Chori, and then it depends whose Levi's buying off. So Rashi makes it clear that he thinks it's one shtar. Tosfos tries to bring a possibility that it was two shtaros, and then in the end he mentions, I like Rashi's pshat, I like Rashi's pshat the best. That when it's done under one shtar, to avoid this problem. Because once you enter into two shtaros, then you have to start dealing with an issue of who was first and who was second, which side was first, and whether you left over property, and then you're dealing with different types of claims. All right, now, next case. Amar Abaye. Ruvain Shemachar sold to Shimon Ba'achrayut. Right, so Ruvain now sold property to Shimon with recourse. All right, Ba'at Ba'chov de Ruvain. The Ba'chov de Ruvain is coming, but Katari Flimei. And then the creditor is coming. So now what is it? Ruvain's going to be on the hook here. Because the creditor of Ruvain is coming to take away the property from Shimon. And then Ruvain's going to have to reimburse Shimon for the recourse that he offered him. So then, Dina who, the Dina is, the Asa Ruvain of Fatile. Ruvain can go ahead and compensate the Baal Chov. He can pay him off right now. He can't come and say, what, that you're not involved in the case anymore, that you're not a party to the case anymore. When they take out the property from me, when you, the creditor, is going to take the property right from Shimon, they're going to come back and what? And come to me for recourse. So through transitive property, he is a party to this case. Even though technically, right, the creditor says, what are you bothering me for? I'm getting my land. I don't worry. You want a deal paying back? Pay Shimon. Don't pay me money. I want the land now. So Ruvain has a right to say, I want to step in here and block the process from going through. I want to pay you off right now so that you don't go, what? You don't go and grab the property from Shimon, and then I'm going to have to pay Shimon back, and it's going to look bad, right? Because I'm going to, what? Now, the question is, what?
Actually, the question is, you're saying, it's not just a question of Ruvain coming in and
right.
So
this is why. All right. So that's why is Rashi doing that? That's what this big tosus is about. Is why does Ruvain want to get involved with the din here? I mean, what right does Ruvain have, or what option does Ruvain have that Shimon does not have? I mean, why does Ruvain care? I mean, look, what claim can Ruvain make in court? Right, versus what Shimon couldn't make. Like, what type of eidus, what type of claim in court does Ruvain have that is better than Shimon's claim, that he'd rather be in the forefront here rather than Shimon being in the forefront? If they both have to argue the case in court, right, why is it, or both have to bring the case to Beis Din, what is Ruvain's advantage over Shimon? That's the question they have to deal with here. So Rashi tries to say, come up with a case where Ruvain's at an advantage here is one, what? That's one thing that Shimon may not have, but Ruvain has. He's owed money from another party, and he wants to cross the two parties and say, you know, what do you call it? Shibuda the Rav Nachman, right? Right, that you can pass through a third party a claim like that. So he says, maybe that's Ruvain's right over Shimon. Or, the important one, Ishtaba li delo pratich. That he has a right to make a claim that you take a shvua to me that you didn't pay me. The problem is what? Then we know, and this is what Tosfos says, why does Shimon can't make that claim? Make Shimon, even though Shimon himself cannot make the claim, take a shvua, we are tainan lay. We make a tainan based in for him that what? That he has to take a shvua. So why is Ruvain better off than Shimon? So that's what this big Tosfos talks about. And Tosfos comes out with a case about Mezuyah. If what? The case where it's unusual, where that Ruvain can demand a Shavua, whereas Shimon cannot demand a Shavua, is a case where you have a possibility of a forged contract. Right? So now, in general, we believe that a contract is, if you have Edim that are signed on a contract, that means that contract is Mekuyum and is a very powerful claim tool, right? And that you're not allowed to, you can't just come in with Ma'arir on a contract like that. You don't just have a right to come in and say that, what? Oh, let's check this out. This contract's not a good contract. It's a mezuyah. Why? Because you have midoraisa, a very, very strong claim here. So the only person who can make a claim against that is, what? The debtor himself. When he knows, he says, borrowly, he says, it's clear to me that this is mezuyah. This is a forgery. So that's only a case where what you can say to himself.
He can live himself.
Right, so if you look at this, if you look in Tosfos, we'll try to catch the main point here.
Where is it?
I'm just looking at Tosfos one second again, I'll give it to you. Alright, here. If you look in, it's in Tosfos about 11 lines down in the wide lines in Tosfos. 11 lines down in the wide lines in Tosfos. It's Al-Titama, in the white lines, down the bottom white lines, underneath the Gemara, 11 lines, down to Al-Titama, Al-Titama, Chayei, right? You didn't leave any room for anybody to work, why? Shari mina Torah ain't tzarach shum shtar kiyum. From the Torah, no shtar needs a kiyum. The edim achosumim al shtar nasa kemish nechko edutam bebeisin. That is a full, right? Full and good claim. Vafilu gazlan. Even a guy who's a thief, a known thief. Muxach shahotzi shtar enough, right? Inner leish tzarach kiyum. Right, because he's not coming with his own claim. He's coming claim with a shtar. A shtar is as if he was mekuyim bebeisin. So even though he's a known thief, if he has a shtar, that star is a valid claim, and nobody has to check on it. Right? Even though he is choshed to steal money, he won't forge signature. A right for signature. Penya kiru based in ziufo, because the based in will figure it out. I mean, forgery is very difficult to pull off, and therefore, in general, he's not going to pull off a forgery. So even though he's
not hard evidence.
Right, exactly. Right, they can check. They can really check right. The signatures. They can really do it work. Hilkach, tika ta'inu rabbanin kiyum neged tainas shtar mizuyot. When do we demand that the person who brings out a shtar has to be mekayim the shtar?
Right.
That it's as if it's a forgery. Hani mileki amar lobe de kimle bagavei. The lobe himself, no, I know for certainty that what? That this is a forged shtar. Well, yat me blukukos keneged tainas shaziyot lo itzriku kucham ede kiyum. If the lekuchos, a buyer, or the yitomim come up with such a claim, chachamim say don't need any kiyum. Hoil v'lo kimle bekaveim muzuyofim lab. They have no. They have right. It's just a tiny shema.
Right.
They don't have a. They cannot make a bari claim against the shtar that it's muzuyof. So that's what Tosa says is the advantage that that Reuven has over Shimon over here, that he can make such a claim of tainas ziyuf. Then Tosa asks, right? Well then, why don't we? If Reuven could make such a claim in general, we say then ta'inen le. We'll make Beis Din will step in when Shimon's here, like the buyer or the Yisomim are there. Beis Din will step in and make the claim for them. And we found that in other cases where Beis Din comes in and says a tainis lo parati, right? And we say that he did not pay the loan. We can make a tainis lo parati and force a shvuah. Beis Din will step in for them and make, help force them to make a shvuah, right? So
isn't that contradicting what we just said? The whole idea is that. It's unique where only he can.
Right, so that will undermine. Right, Tosus said it will undermine Tosus's position. So Tosus at first suggests that what that there is no tain in lay that the Baziyuf is the one exception to this case where we are not telling for that. That solves his problem exactly. That's what gives Reuven the advantage. But then he later backpedals on that. I'll read you the lines. You have to find Albadelo tain in lay tain ziyuf. Avogav the shartanos toin leyorish toin lelokeach. Even though in general we are toin for yorish and lelokeach. Ziyuf is the one thing we don't. Hacha mukminin le'adoraisa. Here we go after the Zanatorikos manchin aloba atmo poslo. That's Tosus. That's how he comes up for it. But in the end, he says, and Tosus asks a starker question on this. If you can't make a claim of Ziyuf for the Kuchos and for Yisomim, what's every thief going to do? He says, Okasha dover, im lo choshu lahafsit yutomim lukuchos, shiocho kaladim lotzim yadam ayde Ziyuf. The easiest way to cheat a lekuchos or Yisomim is going to be go get a forged, bring a forged document. Because Beis Din will never make a claim of Ziyuf. They will never make that claim on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And so the easiest way to cheat out Yisomim and lekuchos is not to come to Beis Din and say, I have a claim. It's to come bring a shtar that has Eidim Chatumim on it, hand it in, and then nobody can make a claim of Ziyuf on the shtar. So he says, Alkein Nira Lomar Shetonim Lahem Mizuyafu. So then he says in the end that he does, we are tying him for them. Right, so now. But then he has to deal with, right?
He does some English thing.
Right. So then Tosus goes back, and then he has to deal with, once he's done that, right? Then he has to deal with what is he doing? What is Reuven's real advantage over here, right? If Tainian Lay, what is Reuven's best advantage? She has another possibility with Rashi, which he says that is Rashi. Let me just get that. Right, here. So there's the other gate. It's higher up than what we were just before. Alti Tama. It's 2, 4, 6, 8. 8 lines down from the wide lines. It tells us, Umiyu Yesh Lomar. Umiyu Yesh Lomar. So in the end, he tries this alternative shot that's not like Rashi. And then what? Then he rejects it in the end because he says we are Tanin Lay. And then you end up with a position where everybody has the same claim. Right? So now, Umiyu Yesh Lomar. The Nafkamina Yoko Lomar Yishtaba Li De Lo Pratich. Right? Swear to me that you didn't pay. Could the perish for countries? But what? Shimon can make the same claim, right? Ve'ichkon shemachol lo Shimon shvua. that Shimon gave a release to the creditor that he does not have to take a shvuah. Right, so that's it. So now
it's Shimon's personal release.
Yeah, so he gave a release. So here Reuben has an advantage. By the fact that Reuben can still be involved in the din, right? Even when Shimon's given a release, Reuben can step in and say, I didn't give a release, swear to me. And that's Reuben's advantage over here. Reuben's advantage over here is that even if Shimon is disengaged from the case, Reuben can engage in the case and force a shvur and force certain things that Shimon has released the creditor from.
Why would Shimon never do such a thing?
Whatever the reason is that he wants
to do that. Like in a regular transaction, you know, you can understand why the seller would, you know, give such a... What possible reason would Shimon ever...
He might have business with him on another side. He might have other issues with him. You know, I mean, that we don't know what their personal relationship is, that he wants to release him from a shvuah. Whatever it is that he did that, he did, since he did do it, now he's, you know, he can't make any claim against him. Okay, so that's okay. I just leave that just so you have a flavor of what this big tosos is about. Just a flavor of what's going on here. Now, next, Ikadamri. So the Gemara says, Ikadamri, filo shalo be'achrayus nami. Our case over here is where Reuben sold it to Shimon with recourse, right? So that's why Reuben can step in. He says, why? Because if you grab the property from Shimon, where's Shimon coming to? He's coming to me to get the property. So there, Ikadamri says, even when he sells it without recourse, damalei lo nekali tehavilei Shimon tarumos elai. Reuben can still claim that he's a litigant, he's a party to the transaction here. Why? Because he says, even though Shimon can't come back and make a claim against me, Shimon's going to be upset at me. I sold it to him without recourse. He comes and grabs the property away, so I owe Shimon nothing technically. But Shimon's not going to want to transact with me anymore. He's not going to want to deal with me anymore because he knows that, you know, property that comes out of Reuben is going to disappear. So Reuben can become according to the Sikh Dhamma, Reuben's a party to the litigation only because of his reputation. Not because he's going to have a real claim against him, but because of his reputation here. So Amar Abaye, Reuben, Shemocha Sada L'Shimon, Shalom V'Achrayus. Reuben sold the property to Shimon without recourse. V'yotzu Alav Asikin. Right now, there came out a rumors that what? That he didn't own the property that he sold. They didn't have title. And they didn't do a title search beforehand. And that Reuben really did not have full ownership of the property that he sold to Shimon. Ad Shalom Chepsik V'Yach L'Chak Zorba. Before Shimon is maxic in the property, chazaka is the way that you're going to land. Before he makes a kinyan on the land, he's able to what? To reverse the transaction. So the question is here, if he gave money or not. Rashi says, no, not on most, that he didn't give the money yet, so he's allowed to reverse it. Tosu says, even in a case, if you look on the first Tosu, it's here, Ramin Ramin Tan, I feel not on most. Even if he gave money, I feel going to look kind of a kaspa, that he didn't. He was not kone with the money itself, in the place where they write a shtar to guarantee the transaction. So when there's a shtar still coming, right, in that case he can't. So that's what? Then he's allowed to reverse the transaction. Mechshech hekzikba. Once he's already taken a kinyan in it, eino yachol lachzorbo. He cannot go back on the transaction. He's forced to go through with it. Why? Why is he forced to go with it? Mishum de amalei chayta de kitri savarat vekibilat. You bought a bag of, I don't know, today we would say the expression is you bought a bag of air. Right? You bought a bag of air and you take whatever comes in it. But they're saying, what? This is a bag that has lots of knots in it. I mean, it's not a high quality bag, but you bought it and you accepted whatever is going to happen is going to happen over here. So, Amos Machzikba, what is the point that he actually makes a chazaka?
What's
the
right,
exactly. But his point is that you knew about this and you bought it with whatever it comes with, the package. You bought the full package. The full package is that it's not a right full and clear property. Alright, so now Ma'emas Machzikba, when is there a chazak on the property? Michidayesh or Mitzri. When he walks up Mitzari, when he walks on the borders of the property. Question we'll deal with the Tosfos in a second is, I mean, what's the Gemara after? What's an explicit Mishnah? Okay, Ikadamri, Afilu Bechrayus Nami, if he bought it with recourse. Darmalei Achbe Tirfach Vashalim Lach. Right? He says, even if he sold it with Achrayus, then he can say to him, what? You can't reverse the property. Why? Shimon should say to him, what? I should be able to reverse this transaction here. Why should I reverse the transaction? Right? It's because Reuben come on and say, don't worry. When they reverse the transaction, you come to me and you have a claim and I'll pay you out. But before they come to me, you have no right to reverse the transaction. Shimon's saying, well, in the end, it's the same thing. Why does it matter if they come to you? Why may it come to me? So Shimon, no, says, I have a good claim. What's that? Not everybody who has a claim on my property is going to succeed in Beis Din. So let's wait and see till they succeed. Once they succeed, I'll repay you. But till then, you got to take this property. All right? So the buyer has to stand by his buying. even though technically if it got taken out of his hands, Shimon would have to reimburse him anyway. Nevertheless, what? He can say to him, hold on to it, because you don't have a right to come make a claim against me until what? Until the property is actually grabbed out of your hands. Right, so the one question left here is, this Tosus here, Mamas have a chazaka. When is it a chazaka? Why? Because he says it's a Mishnah Mifreshin in Baba Basra. How do you make chazaka on land? What's the Gemara after here? When is it a chazaka? So that's what Gemara says here, that the Tosus suggests over here, that what? Even though he gave money already, when does chazaka help? Right? When is a full chazaka help? When he's paid money? That's what the way Tosus Rabbeinu Tam is learning it over here, that he paid money, and he wants to not be able to have it so that he won't reverse it. When is the case that he's not reversing it? That's a case where what? He does Daisha Mitzri. He walked on the borders. What's unique about walking the borders? There's also Nol, Gadar, Paratz. These are the regular types of Kinyanim on the land. So if you look at Tosus, Me'emas Habi Chazaka. Me'emas Habi Chazaka, Tosus. Temam. My Kami Baile. What's the Gemara's question here? B'chia Kadilu Ashmino Dine Chazaka. We've never heard before the Dinim of Chazaka. Hamas Nisan He. It's a Mishnah of Resh in Baba Basra. No, Godor, Parat, Koshu, Harizu, Chazaka. Beishlam are the Hachi Bai. This is what happened. May must have a Chazaka and the Yav Par Zuze. He already paid money. How much of a Chazaka do you need to complete the transaction? May must have a Chazaka to Hidaisha Mitzray. When he walks on the border. Afal Gav de Gria Minal Godor. That even though this type of Chazaka is a lower form of Chazaka than Na'al and Godor. Right? Avi Chazaka hovi ika kesef kipi parashti. Because there's money involved here, even though this is a lower form of chazaka, with the money, together with the money, that would be enough of a chazaka.
It cuts both ways. I mean, the person wants to keep the field, so he says, well, I gave you money, and I did a minimum kenyan,
right,
which is walking around the field. So.
Right. That's exactly what Tosus is saying here. I believe, like, any minimum, then I've already become it. The rivam is mefarish, right, that if you skip a couple lines down, three lines down. Chi hei dapnu rabbani sheyadam yachol lachzor bo choshman zezukim bo to inyan. There's a din that when you're still dealing in the details of the transaction, even if you've done the kinyan already, you can reverse it. You're allowed to back out of a transaction as long as what? As long as you're still dealing in the transaction. B'nish ladaske nu kone umakne. While you're still involved in doing the kinyan, and the kinyan's not final until what? All the details of the transaction are worked out. Shachso choshman shirko zezukim zukim bo to inyan. Hachanami. So he believes that he can get out of this transaction as long as he's not made a gilui das that the transaction's over. When is the point that he cannot no longer reverse the transaction? Even though they're dealing in the transaction, when's the point he can't go back? What's crossing the Rubicon? What's that? That's the Daisha Mitzri. When he walked around the borders, right, that shows already that he's done. He's far enough along
he's
the transaction.
Considering it his.
Right. He's considering it his at this point, and since he considered it his, we're no longer in the thing that, oh, we're dealing with the transaction, therefore I can walk away from it. No. The fact that he made such a explicit ownership, right, view on the property, that's enough to say that, what, it's no longer a reversible transaction.